And welcome to edition of the weekly newscast. My name is Jerome Cuson. If this is the first time you're listening to the show, please make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave a 4 or 5 star review. You can also find us on Stitcher, among other places, any place that you find your wrestling or non-wrestling podcasts. You can also support us by going to our high spots in Amazon links, which you can find at pwponderings.com. You can get the same great products from both High Spots as well as Amazon, but we get a small kickback, and it benefits us and helps keep the doors open around here. In addition, I wanted to make this announcement right at the top. Next week is Memorial Day, and we are going to be doing something very, very special. We will be doing the podcast equivalent of an Ask Me Anything. It will be Sierra, it will be Brian, and myself, of course. But Chris GST and Kevin Ford, the other two co-founders of this website, will be joining us for a podcast AMA. Now, what is an AMA, you ask? It is your opportunity to ask us literally anything. It can be wrestling related. It can be non-wrestling related. You can literally ask us anything, and we will answer your questions next week on the weekly newscast. And this will be a special edition of the weekly newscast. Because this weekend is a bit light as far as discussion goes, but we will be doing a couple hours of recording. You know, I really like to do an anniversary show, and this will sort of stand in for that. So it will be Chris, Kevin, and myself, along with Brian and Sierra, as we do a podcast AMA. And Brian, who is joining me on the line, Brian, I know you're fired up. I know you're going to be excited for this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited because, sleeping in on a Monday, and it's one of the small things you got to enjoy about life. For you kids out there who don't have a 9-to-5, or 8-to-5 in my case, lucky bastards, I guess. But hey, ask us anything, you know, ask us random questions about, you know, wrestling stuff, non-wrestling stuff, like, what's your favorite Bryan Singer movie, or what's your favorite War Games match? 1987, by the way. Actually, no, I go with 92 War Games. So
1992 is the correct answer, Brian.
That's true. Always true.
Dangerous Alliance versus Team Sting. You're not beating that.
Right. See, and that's just a random question that popped in my head. So any random question that pops into your head, we'll take it seriously.
You can ask our thoughts on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sequel. You can also ask us about that, which I know Brian is looking forward to, right? Yeah.
I think we'll pass on this one. Honestly.
All right, Brian. So we're going to try and get Sierra on the line so we can talk about AIW's Girls Night Out 17. But right now, Brian, I'm going to sort of turn the show over to you because you are going to talk about PWG that took place from this past Friday. The name of the show is Prince. There were some changes that took place, and I will now turn the floor over to you to discuss it.
Thank you. Yes, it was another sold-out show. In honor of Prince, they named it Prince, and, I was kind of disappointed. Not a whole lot of people wearing purple, but some people had some cool Prince t-shirts, so, you know, props to them. Started late as usual, and I didn't even know at the time that Brian Cage had some family issues. He could not make the show, I guess some family-related stuff with his son, so, you know, all the best to him and his family. And at the start of the show, when Excalibur announced that, he said, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do as a father. And then, of course, the crowd was very receptive and positive to the fact. So they chanted fatherhood at him, which I know he got a big kick out of. And he really, you know, loved that because when I tweeted that out to him from our account, he really responded positively to that and said he loved the crowd. So he, you know, shout out to the crowd from Brian Cage, even though he couldn't be there that night. He still had you in our heart, in his heart. So kind of a down note, but we didn't know who would face Drew Galloway. They didn't really say anything about it. I assume they might have do a three-way match or something like that, but that would be a reveal later on in the show. But the show opened up with Adam Cole and Dalton Castle. Dalton Castle, by far, I don't know if it's because this is the start of the show, but he got the biggest pop of the night, like an eruption kind of pop. Dude is super-duper over. I mean, goddamn, he could win Bola with this kind of pop. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. And the match itself was... You got to love a match with, they're hardly doing, you know, big spots. They're just doing simple stuff, simple storytelling. And the way Dalton Castle just moves in the ring and the way he, you know, his charisma gets that response from the crowd and really just came off well. I mean, they really weren't doing much at all. I mean, there was like one little botch from Dalton Castle when he fell off the top rope, but that kind of played into the match anyway. So still just, you know, very fun match. Nothing balls to the wall crazy, but, you know, just the perfect amount of fun. And I mean, Dalton Castle's the man, and that entrance is so epic live. It's so hilarious, but it's something else, man. He's got this charisma that can really, you know, take him to the top, and he can probably do it. Michael Elgin and Kamatachi was next, and this was, you know, just as I thought it would be, Kamatachi doing crazy, crazy stuff. You know, he's famous for, I guess, his drop kick. Like, he can literally jump over the top rope. In CMLL, he does the spot where he runs the ramp, jumps over the top rope, and then just does a drop kick smooth, like straight off, like a Jet Li or Bruce Lee kind of movie. Just unbelievable. He couldn't really do that here because in the building, as you've seen the DVDs, if you go to the shows live, there's not a really lot of, you know, wiggle room, so to speak. So basically, his big spot of the night was him doing a top rope drop kick to the floor and, you know, literally not being protected because, I mean, he's kicking the guy away. How's he going to get protected? He can't be caught. So, you know, the people around me were freaking out, saying, oh, my God, he's, like, legitimately hurt. And then he just stands up and no-sells it like it's nothing. And the guy's a maniac, Kamatachi, and he should stop doing those kinds of spots. I mean, yeah, they're really cool and all, but, God damn, the long run, he just seems like he just wants to destroy his legs. I don't know why, but he wants to destroy his legs, but that's his prerogative, his choice. So, you know, but still, I mean, even though he couldn't jump around as much like he usually does in CMLL, like, he still had this great match with Michael Elgin. I mean, he had some really close near falls, stood toe-to-toe with him. I mean, you know, he didn't match him in the strength department, but still, I mean, still, he was able to match him, like, blow for blow, using top rope maneuvers to get some advantages. At one point, he thought the match was going to be an upset because his finish is, I believe, the Meteora, or I don't know what he actually calls it, but it's the Meteora, the two knees from the top. He did it twice in a row, and it really bit the crowd into thinking that he was going to get the upset, but Michael Elgin came back, and eventually, after throwing him around, gave him the Elgin bump, so a very good match there. Marty Scurll defeated Mark Andrews. This was definitely the Marty Scurll show in this match. I mean, he dominated the match. He led the match. I mean, he was the star of the show in this thing. Mark Andrews was kind of an afterthought, even though Mark Andrews did play the babyface comebacks here and there, but he would just get cut off, you know, and Marty would just go for the hand or the arm, and you know it was coming. And somehow he knows how to build these matches up. Like, the last 5 minutes, 10 minutes of a Marty Scurll match, he just knows how to make it unbelievable, man. I guess it's because the anticipation of him getting the chicken wing on, and then the, you know, the whole thing about the fight and the struggle to tap or not tap, and the fact that, you know, Mark Andrews got out of it twice, so you kind of bit into it. I mean, by the second time he was in the chicken wing, I actually thought the match was over, and I was about to tweet out the result, and then he got out, and then the match went on for another 5 minutes after, like, Mark Andrews started doing dives consecutively on the floor. So, I mean, they just tried to do so much at the end, but this was mainly just Marty Scurll being an artist, like a true man. I mean, it was, you guys see him live, I mean, he's just unbelievable. He knows how to finish a match, and he really, truly made this match more than, I mean, it seemed like at first, through the first half of the match, it was going to be kind of whatever, just the usual stuff. But, you know, by the end, Marty Scurll just knows how to finish a match and make it special. So, like, the last 10 minutes were unbelievable. Trevor Lee defeated Andrew Everett. This was okay. Like, they, you know, doing crazy spots as usual. I mean, they're jumping all over the place. Andrew Everett's being a maniac, jumping here. He broke a light fixture. And then I think he broke another light fixture just by virtue of, like, flipping and kicking the ceiling. So, there you go. I mean, that's 3 or 4 times I've seen the light fixtures be broken by wrestlers now. So yeah, this match was just kind of the anti-TNA match. People were just like, fuck TNA, that kind of shit. Trevor Lee was just, you know, trying to get the heel heat by saying, you know, we're TNA superstars. So yeah, it was fine. Nothing really came out. You know, you probably would have had a better match if you switched up and did Mark Andrews against Andrew Everett and the Marty Scurll against Trevor Lee in a rematch from Bull of last year, but I think that would have been, you know, better, but for some reason they kind of wanted to play it safe with the guys who are used to each other pairing up. So intermission came and came and went, got some drinks, came back. Man, Chris Hero and Jeff Cobb, whew, this was the real main event. Even though Roderick Strong and Sami Callihan went on last, this was truly the main event. I mean, the crowd was like, you know, buzzing and the anticipation. I mean, goddamn, like, this was like a heavyweight battle of the ages, a Hoss battle. It's everything you wanted this match to be, and they kind of left you, you know, wanting more. They didn't do you know, they didn't do everything, so to speak. They could have done a little bit more, and it makes you wanting more, and I hope they're going to do it again, because this match was fucking awesome. And I kind of watched it from the bar line, and even just from the bar line, just experiencing this match standing up and looking back and forth. But man, just the whole crowd was buzzing. Jeff Cobb is even bigger than I saw him. Like, I saw him in a dark show, or in pre-show match, or a dark match at the Lucha Underground last year, season one. And he was a lot slimmer. He was probably around, let's say, 250. And if I were to guess, he's probably like 275. Like, the dude is just huge, and he's like my height. And goddamn, he was just throwing Hero around. Like, within the first 2 minutes, he did those gut red suplexes, like three in a row, just holding on to Hero. And just seeing that live, like, it's unbelievable, because we all know Chris Hero, man. We all love him to death. He's on the tear right now, probably one of the best tears of his career. And he's huge. Not huge, but the dude's big. Like, probably like Dusty Rhodes, late 70s big kind of thing going on. And
you know, it's amazing, Brian. I'm going to interrupt you for just a second. It is amazing to me that Chris Hero and AJ Styles may very well be having the best runs of their career, and they are both north of 30. Chris Hero is, I think he's 34, 35. AJ Styles, 36, 37. That's unbelievable that we are witnessing this run by these two guys.
Yeah, that's kind of like usually how it happens. You kind of forget about the guys that have been on the scene for a while, then all of a sudden they kind of tweak some things, and all of a sudden they're on your radar again. And Chris Hero's certainly done that. I mean, even compared to him, like, I'd say his run kind of started around, God, probably around the Tommy End match from last year. Like, I think it was like April. So sometime around there. And then for me personally, like, that's because when he faced Adam Cole, he was okay. That whole run from like 2014, I think it was okay. But from now, I mean, he's just been putting on match after match that's been, you know, out of this world. And goddamn, this match really was. It should have gone on last, I swear. It was just, that's what the crowd really, I mean, if there was no title match, this felt like the main event of the crowd for sure. But I guess for some, you know, because Roddy had the storyline thing going on, which I'll get to in a sec, but I guess that's why they put that on last. You know, check the, I mean, this is definitely a B show, but definitely check this match out. Like, seek this match out for sure. And it's going to leave you wanting more. And I have never seen Chris Hero drop so many sentons in a match. And knowing that Cobb can handle it, like, it's no wonder he did so many. And man, just Hero dropping all that weight, unbelievable. And then, yeah, Drew Galloway came out. You know, Brian Cage, as you know, couldn't come to the show. So Drew Galloway had an open challenge. He said that anyone who in the back who wants to wrestle twice, we're not going to have any open outsider challenges, because this is kind of cool. Like, he actually said that, like, PWG is kind of like this club, and that you're accepted only if the crowd accepts you and gets behind you. So I thought that was really, like, interesting, and an interesting take on it. It's kind of right. Like, the crowd really has to get behind you in order for you to, like, be part of the club. And PWG really does feel like kind of like this elite club in indie wrestling right now. Drew Galloway kind of really hit the nail on the head with that. And yeah, man, that's kind of what it is. So it is what it is. If you want to be part of the cool club, I guess, in indie wrestling, you got to be accepted by the fans of PWG, I guess. So that Michael Elgin came out willing to wrestle twice, I guess because of politics, he had to lose, because Drew Galloway, I didn't even realize at the time that Drew Galloway was the TNA champion. I just kind of found out afterward. I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. He's the TNA champion. I felt like,
would it boggle your mind even more to realize that Trevor Lee is the X Division champion?
Oh yeah, that's right. Fuck, the TNA X Division champion and the TNA World champion on the show, and no one really gave it a thought. So there you go.
Nobody cares.
Hey, if you forget about it afterward, it says something, I guess. So yeah, this match was good. Elgin, I thought, should have won, because, I mean, he was going to challenge for the title if Zach was on the show, and I felt like he should have won both matches if he's going to challenge for the title. Now, he seems like a guy who went 50-50 on a night and doesn't seem like a number one contender. Had he, you know, beat both Kamatachi and Drew Galloway the same night, then he definitely looks like a monster ready to challenge and possibly threaten to win the world title from Zack Sabre after having a massive two-match night like that, you know, out of nowhere and just seeming like a monster. But I guess they're going to pass on that. It seems like they kind of missed the boat. I don't know if they're going to go back to it, but I mean, it's definitely a match I want to see live. I know they did Rev Pro so it was told. But I got to get on that, because if that's the only time they're going to face off, that, you know, that's kind of a missed opportunity, but shit happens. So, because, I mean, based on what happened in the main event was Roderick Strong and Sami Callihan. Roderick Strong came out to Zack Sabre's music and was just trolling the crowd. Cut a promo on Zack Sabre Jr., calling him, you know, not a worthy champion or whatever for, you know, missing the first title defense or blah, blah, blah. And I kind of, I was phasing it out of my head. I was kind of tired by that point, but I was also distracted by the fact that if you saw that picture on my Twitter, and I forget who else's Twitter, but Sami Callihan was sitting on that fan's lap drinking my buddy's pitcher of beer, and I kind of photobombed him, and now that's my profile pic, so check that out. But yeah, this match was good. They brawled all over the place like I thought they would. They didn't really kick it into the next gear until like the last 5 minutes. That's when the match felt really cool, like a really, really excellent at times. But it was only in those last 5 minutes. So if I were to rank it out of 5 stars, it would probably be like a 3.5. Only for that last 5 minutes really picked up and really elevated the match. But I still thought Hero and Cobb was the match of the night for sure. But because I guess they want to build up this Roderick Strong rematch. So it seems like, if I was going to guess, the third match is coming at the anniversary show in July, which they did announce. There's no show in June, and the next show is the anniversary show in July. And I got to say that, I mean, it's kind of obvious they're going to do Roderick Strong and Zack Sabre Jr. for the third time. And if they're doing it for the third time, I wouldn't be surprised if they did Guerrilla Warfare. But Zack Sabre Jr. in a Guerrilla Warfare match doesn't really gel in my head. So, you know, I'd be kind of down with like an I Quit match or some kind of submission-based match where Zack Sabre Jr. can get another victory by just making Roddy tap out again or scream like a bitch.
So that is PWG, which took place again this past Friday, and we'll probably be able to see the show maybe next year, sometime in May, maybe? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good guess, but...
You know, they were doing so well, and now they're just falling.
I blame Blu-ray. Once you go fancy, it takes extra time to go Blu-ray, I guess, because...
I mean, it's really bad. AEW is able to get their shows out in like a week. And there are so many companies that are getting their shows out in expedient fashion. And unfortunately, and I get the PWG has their business model, and I get it, but it's 2016. Something has to give at some point, because this model is just not sustainable at this point, especially because there's so much good wrestling out there. You know, there was a time when PWG was... you know, one of the three good independents out there and very buzzworthy, but it feels like the buzz is not there as much for this company. And obviously, you know, as far as the live crowd goes, they're still able to sell out. And, you know, they're obviously still doing very well. When you're charging $75 for tickets, you have to be doing well. But I just feel like that the issues with this, with the releasing of the DVDs and you know, taking 2 months, 3 months for them to release shows, it really feels like the buzz is coming off of this company.
Yeah, I can totally see that. And, you know, some of the booking in this year's shows have been kind of weird. Like, there's only been 3 tag matches this year in PWG. I counted. a shit ton of singles matches, for sure. But I guess, you know, the top talent that they like to book and that they're pushing as top talent, like the Bucks and the tag champs, but they're also in New Japan. And they're also in Ring of Honor. So, you know, New Japan's got the commitments. I mean, they were supposed to be in the Super Juniors tournament that very same night, except that they got hurt and now they're sent home. But even Kyle O'Reilly, you know, he's in the Super Juniors tournament. You know, a lot of Ricochet also in the Super Juniors tournament. It seems like New Japan is just kind of like picking up all the talent of PWG and, yeah, just kind of nitpicking. And you kind of get these kind of B-level shows, and then you kind of hope for the bigger anniversary Bola-type shows, All-Star Weekend-type shows. But I wish it was more consistent, for sure.
Definitely. Sierra, are you here? Apparently not. Apparently Sierra still cannot hear us. We are having technical issues with her, so I am going to move on and discuss some of the other events of this past weekend, including Tier 1, as they ran their Meteoric show from this past week. And you can check out those results at pwponderings.com/results, as Rude Boy Riley retained his Tier 1 championship. And you can definitely go check that out. And Matt Riddle tapping out Caleb Konley in a very interesting result as well. Also, Brian, it is worth noting, Sami Callihan got another championship as this past Saturday in North Carolina. Sami Callihan put the AEW World Heavyweight Championship on the line against John Skyler, who was the PWX champion. This was title for title, and Sami Callihan came away with the PWX championship. So Sami Callihan now has a second title to add to his collection. The Bravado Brothers defeated Los Bendejos to retain the PWX tag team titles. And you can check, again, those results as well at pwponderings.com/results. So that is what went on this past weekend. It was relatively quiet other than those three major shows. And we're going to transition and talk about some of what's going on this upcoming weekend. But I'm going to check in and see. Sierra, are you here? Continue technical issues. So what we are going to do now is, Brian, you and I are going to discuss what is going on with Chikara very briefly. Brian, Chikara is running their 14th anniversary weekend this weekend, of course. They did a couple of joint shows with Fight Club Pro. And then this weekend is the official Chikara weekend. And included in this weekend, all four nights, Kimberly will be matched up against Halo Wicked in some form or fashion, in either a tag, an Atomicos, a 10-person, or a singles match. So there's going to be a whole lot of those guys. And, of course, it will be Princess Kimberly defending Halo Wicked, defending the title against Halo Wicked on Monday, May 30th. So exactly 1 week from today, it will be Kimberly versus Halo Wicked for the Chikara Grand Championship. Some of the other big matches that are going to be taking place across this weekend, probably the most notable, Brian, is Lightning Mike Quackenbush versus Mr. Smooth Johnny Kidd in what will be Johnny Kidd's retirement match. This is taking place on Saturday, and it's pretty crazy to think that Mike Quackenbush is going to be returning to the ring after over 3 years away from it. And Brian, I know that you are not someone who follows Chikara on a regular basis, and obviously Viva Chikara will preview all four of these events in great detail, but I know the prospect of a Mike Quackenbush match has to interest you a little bit.
Yeah, from what I heard, this is also double retirement. Like, this will be officially Mike Quackenbush's retirement match. I don't know if that's true or not. I heard that on, I think, Wrestling Observer Radio, but I think someone called in and said that, but I think we need confirmation from Kevin, but because, yeah, I mean, as much as I don't watch Chikara anymore, and I'm very, you know, I got kind of cut off when they cut off, you know what I mean? Back in, was it June 2013?
Yeah, it's crazy to think that was 3 years ago.
Yeah, man. And, fuck, that's when I started my job. Shit, no wonder it kind of lines up. But, yeah, it's going to be, I mean, wow. You look back at Quack's career. I mean, I didn't start watching Quack until, what, 2008, 9-ish? Like, because I was very much a Ring of Honor kind of guy. And then I started, you know, going through other indies. And then I discovered Chikara. And from when that King of Trios with Ibushi all the way up to, like I said, the cutoff when they went.
King of Trios 2009. And I think that is the entry point for a lot of people. Yeah. Because that was definitely one of the biggest trios ever. Because you had Johnny Saints as a part of that event. You had so much going on that weekend, and you know, I think King of Trios just in general is a good entry point for people, but I think 2008 specifically got Kevin Ford into it, and myself as well. And for me, you know, I think Trios 09 obviously made a huge difference, just because, I mean, you look at the list of names: Brian Danielson, Johnny Saint, Claudio Castagnoli, Kota Ibushi. I mean, El Generico is a part of those shows. It's crazy to think about.
Yeah, so it's going to be kind of emotional, I guess. I'm pretty sure that, like, all the students will be, you know, surrounding the ring, that kind of thing. And Man, it's going to be something else. This will be officially it, I guess. You kind of thought maybe that...
For two guys, I mean, two guys who have obviously had a major impact on the world of professional wrestling in very different ways, but, you know, they wrestled a very certain style, and you could argue that the style that they have incorporated over the course of their careers is a major focal point of the of Evolve and... you know, what guys like Drew Gulak are doing.
Yeah, and I guess it wasn't, I mean, if it wasn't for, like, Quack training, what, Gulak and Hero, and, well, not necessarily Hero, but, you know, training alongside them, and it's just like that whole period led up to what, you know, it's like he knew that he had to, like, plant seeds and, you know, let the plants grow and kind of, you know, go around to their own, and that's what kind of become with Drew Gulak and Chris Hero and all them, and it's just crazy to think about, like, God damn, he's been wrestling since, what, 99, 98, maybe? I mean, I even heard stories about him almost going into ECW, him and his partner, part of the Reckless Youth. Yeah. God damn. So this is going to be something else. And I think Kimberly wins because, A, that match was, what, less than 2 minutes? And...
Yeah.
B, she's got to, like, make it seem like she's not a fluke. And by doing that, you just got to straight up beat, you know, the former champ, just straight up clean, and that's the way to do it. So I think she's going to beat him clean, and Hella Wicked is more than willing, I think, to do that. And, you know, Hella Wicked is one of the most probably one of the more underrated technically sound guys. Like, he doesn't get a lot of credit for what he does in the ring. And that's just for me watching him when he was, like, the babyface Hella Wicked for all those years, you know. So I can, you know, him and Kimberly can probably tear it up something fierce. So,
absolutely. I'm kind of 50-50 on what's actually going to happen in that match. We'll have to see. I could see Wicked winning as well. They're doing they're really turning up the heat on this Naz Muldoon situation. And the Batiri and Ikaris are now a part of Hella Wicked's group. So, obviously, they are going to be a focal point on the Rudo side for much of the rest of the year. But of course, Viva Chikar will have all of the cards in great detail. And Kevin and Justin are very good about reading the tea leaves, so to speak. And what they say about that Wicked Kimberly match, I would say you could go to Vegas and make some bets on that. Because it was Justin Houston that called Hella Wicked winning the title in England last year. So we'll see what Justin has to say this year. So let's discuss AIW. Brian, we have a bracket for the JT Lightning Invitational Tournament, and the format is going to be very different this year. So we are going to have 12 matches in the opening round on night one, and then on night two, we're not going to have a series of singles matches. We're going to have 3 4-way matches, and then the final itself will be a three-way. So for those of you who don't like six-hour cards, night two is going to be something a little bit different. And I don't know how people are going to react to this, but for me, I like that they're experimenting with this format. I don't know how it's going to come across. But when you get to night one and night two, and when both shows, these J-Lit shows can run very, very long, I am all for at least trying something different. What do you think, Brian?
That's probably the best thing, considering that I've been to Bola shows that go on forever and just don't end and just keep going and going. So I much prefer.
And that's with three. And that's with three nights.
Yeah. So yeah, and I guess the other thing is, you look at this bracket. You got guys like, I mean, God forbid, Dan Severin advances, right? So we want him in another singles match. It's much more safer to put him in a four-way, right? So. I could easily see, like, Dan Severn being going to the next round. God, I mean, you look at this bracket. You could have, like, Dan Severn, Little Guido, Big Damo, and, God, Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. Good God. And
that could be a rematch, everyone. That could literally happen. It could be Dan Severn, Little Guido, Big Damo, and Tracy Williams in a four-way. That is possible.
I know I'm supposed to take this seriously, but my God, Dan Severn in 2016. Good Lord. I mean,
yeah, your shirt becomes all the more relevant.
Well,
this weekend.
Yeah, good God. But still, I mean, you look at this bracket, you could have some fun matches here. I mean, you look at that, the top bracket is really interesting because Billy Gunn and Colt Cabana in the same match with Candice LeRae. I mean, that could, and Johnny Gargano. You could have a couple.
There's some really random things in this deal.
But still, my pick is Cedric Alexander based on him leaving Ring of Honor and, you know, him, the other promotions wanting to make a big statement. Seems like the perfect opportunity. You look at that. Let me see his bracket. He's facing Beta Scott. Well, that's a win. Let's see. DJZ, Laredo. Yeah, see, that's a totally winnable bracket. That's a totally winnable bracket. Like, he's probably top tier in that bracket anyway.
And if we had more time, I would have said really map this out and see how it plays out. But
it's kind of interesting.
I don't know. I could see Cedric Alexander as a finalist. I am not willing to say that he is going to win the whole tournament.
Okay, here.
I do not have a feel. I have not watched very much AIW this year, so I really don't know how this is going to play out. If I were a betting man, I would say Josh Alexander would win. That just based on the fact that I think he's a guy that you bring back in. You've got the ready-made feud with Ethan Page right there, Battle of the Monster Mafia. You know, they were feuding a bit last year. So I'm going to say Josh Alexander wins this match.
Okay.
Wins the whole tournament, in fact. So that's my pick. Lock it up. We'll see. Neither of us are going to be right. It's going to be Dan Severin that wins.
Look,
he's going to start shooting, and he's going to win the whole tournament.
All he has to do is win three matches, and two of them are going to be multi-man matches if he advances to the next round. So it's not that.
Is it going to be like the Brawl for All? Remember that? Maybe that's what this match against Delaney should be, a Brawl for All. That's what should happen.
I bet Delaney comes out with gloves, you know, like a whole shtick, mouthpiece and everything, and then.
Wouldn't it be funny if this is exactly what they were planning and we just ruined it?
Well, I mean, if you got to go really obvious, then sure. That's the obvious thing to do, especially if you book a guy against Cotton. I mean, if it was like, I don't know, Lil Guido against Dan Severn, then we'd be talking a completely different type of match. But the fact that it's Colin Delaney, former ECW superstar, you can only expect so much.
This could go in a number of different directions, but of course the JT Lightning Invitational presented by AIW is taking place this Friday and Saturday night at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, 1355 West 70th Street in Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland, of course, kind of the center of the sporting world. The Cleveland Indians are chasing the White Sox in the American League. You've got the Cleveland Cavaliers. You've got the Jaylets. The Cleveland Browns are also around, sort of. Yeah, maybe a little bit. But this weekend, Jaylet and Hornswoggle is going to be there on day two.
The Swoggle, you mean?
Yes. Contractual reasons that they cannot refer to him as Hornswoggle. But yes, he will be there. Whatever his name is, the little half pint is going to be there.
Well, make your money when you can, because it's not going to last long.
Absolutely. So originally we were going to review the Girls Night Out 17, but unfortunately we've had a number of technical problems with Sierra. So we are going to postpone that review until next week. But in addition to Girls Night Out 17, Brian, we will be reviewing Alpha One's Immortal Kombat number 4, main evented by Josh Alexander versus Heidi Lovelace, plus Ricky Shane Page versus Donovan Dijak. Amongst other matches, and Brian, I know you have to be looking forward to watching this one.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting considering what we talked about last week. So yeah, intergender is a very hot button issue, I guess. Whatever. I'm in the fence where, as long as it's, you know, I mean, shit, we got Black Widow, like, you know, kicking ass in Marvel movies and shit. And that's fiction, and this is supposed to be fiction, right? So there you go, kids.
In addition, we will have the Ask Me Anything. You can ask us literally anything. Kevin Ford, Chris GST, Brian, hopefully Sierra, and myself. And maybe, Brian, we'll even talk a little bit of X-Men Apocalypse, which comes out this very Friday. And I don't know. Regardless, it may be good, it may be bad, but it's an X-Men movie. I'm contractually obligated to see every X-Men movie in theaters, as I have done for every one of them up to this point, including X-Men 3 at midnight on opening night, which I regret.
Wow. I kind of waited on that one as soon as I heard the reviews on X3. Kind of getting the same feelings for this X-Men movie based on what I'm hearing, but if anything, I just want this like series to like finally like end and kind of renew a couple years from now and just give us that X-Men from like the 60s, that kind of feeling, the old suits, you know? Fuck, shoot it in the 60s and kind of do what First Class did, but fuck. It's not too late, but you kind of just kind of restart everything. I guess once Marvel kind of resets their shit and they eventually get the X-Men rights back, because we can talk about that next week, but there's this whole story about how the X-Men are not even like, their property's not even owned by Marvel anymore. It's like owned by like 20th Century Fox. And that's just not just movies. It's more like just like licensing stuff. So it's complicated. So once it all ends, they'll just merge back together 10 years from now and everything will just restart. Like we got a new Batman this year.
Absolutely. And if you want to ask us about that, you certainly can feel free to do so. If you want to ask us about anything comic book related, Kevin Ford is a comic book expert as well. So you can ask him. So yeah, next week's going to be a ton of fun. And if you would like to leave us questions, you can do so in one of two ways. Short questions you can send to @PWPonderings on Twitter. And email-wise, you can send it to ProWrestlingPonderings@gmail.com. We will answer all of your questions next week. All right, so Brian, if there is nothing else, then why don't you go ahead and plug your stuff.
All right, if you want to see my stupid face next to Dave Meltzer and Sammy Callahan, hit me up on Twitter, Brian DeBrain. That's my profile pic, and I'm sticking to it because I totally forgot that she took that picture and then she tweeted that out to me, and I was like, oh, shit, I completely forgot I took that picture. So hit me up if you want to talk about wrestling, you know, movies, comic books, interesting conversations, hit me up. If you need some graphic design work done, hit me up. I got a lot of compliments from a lot of people on Friday for my prints artwork. So even got into a nice, interesting discussion with the camera guy. So now I can get some more exclusive, cool pictures as opposed to just Googling shit for my project. So good for that. And, you know, please check out the store, pwponderings.com/store. We, you know, I designed a t-shirt in January that kind of predicts where we are now with JLit, and it's not really that hard to predict if you think about it, knowing some people in AEW, and just, you know, the fact that we have AJ Styles in WWE in 2016, that it just speaks for itself with that shirt. So I guess I kind of predicted the future, I guess, but whatever. And also check out the other shirt, the new one, sort of new one I made. That's not how the fork works. It's kind of funny, kind of punny, I don't know. But if you're a Star Wars...
It's kind of a dad joke, but it works. And Homicide is going to be at AEW on June 17th. We didn't even discuss that, but that AEW card on June 17th is ridiculous, everyone. Johnny Gargano and Zack Sabre Jr. was announced. Brian, I'm getting PWG in Marionette Park on a monthly basis at this point.
Yeah, I think you've been getting PWG for the last couple months now with all those sellouts that you've been getting. And yeah, you've had more Pentagon Jr. No, you've had more Lucha Underground.
Yes, I have had more Pentagon Jr. than you.
Yes. Well, that excludes the tapings that I've gone to, because that's, of course, the Lucha Underground tapings. Of course, it's going to be there.
Yes.
I want more of that.
It's crazy. And I know for a fact the Pentagon Jr. will be coming back to AEW in the very near future. So I don't think that's official, but he'll be back soon, folks.
For sure. And, yeah, I guess that's about it, and I don't know, next week is going to be kind of long, but kind of epic, and it's going to be awesome because I get to sleep in on a Monday.
Yes, fun times.
Okay.
So, pwponderings.com, or I'm sorry, twitter.com/pwponderings is the place to find results. Of course, Brian always tweets out PWG results. He'll be getting Freelance, AEW, and Shimmer in June, so you'll definitely want to make sure you follow the Twitter for that. You can also follow us at PW Ponderings Shop as well. Or is it PWP Shop?
PWP Shop, I believe, yes.
It's at PWP Shop.
Yeah, I got to improve that because I keep forgetting about that account.
Yes, twitter.com/JeromePWP Editor is the place to find me on the old Twitter machine. on the website, pwponderings.com. You can go read my review of the Alpha One show that we will be discussing next week. You can also find my written review of Girls Night Out. I will be having upcoming reviews of Chikara shows, as well as the Rev Pro shows, too. So for Brian, my name is Jerome Cusan. You've been listening to the Pro Wrestling Ponderings weekly newscast. We will talk to you next week.
Boom.